This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. This week's podcast is brought to you by the Friends of the Magic Word. Those are people who help us to keep this podcast going through their pledges and donations. And if you would like to become a friend of the Magic Word to help keep this podcast free and available to everyone online, please go to themagicwordpodcast.com, and there you'll see a link that you can donate and subscribe. You can learn how to become a friend of the Magic Word, and it gives you some details as to why that we can use your support in order to keep this going, and also how that you can do it through PayPal or through Patreon.com, whether it's a one-time donation or for an ongoing pledge. We certainly appreciate that, and we thank all of you who have supported us over the years and those who continue to, whether it, again, it's one time or for a pledge. Thank you very much. Go check it out, and I look forward to welcoming you as a friend of the Magic Word. One of the things that the money goes for is to help offset some of the expenses for attending magic conventions, which is what I had recently done, was to go to the Magi Fest in Columbus, Ohio. And while I was there, or I should say on my way there, I stopped by the House of Cards. In the past, we have had a few different conversations with people and locations, people who are the managers and owners of some of the magic theaters around the country. And from time to time, when I have the opportunity, I'd like to drop in and take a look and to visit. And since we've got the Magic Island that will be opening soon here in Houston, Texas, I wanted just to have an opportunity to kind of compare that and look at another venue, which this one has only been around for about a year, actually less than a year. I think it was opened just this last summer in 2018. And it is a phenomenal place. I really enjoyed it. It has a really kind of an old world feel, if you will. Kind of like the Magic Castle. I'd say that in a way, because actually Joey Martinez, who was the person that you always met at the front door of the Magic Castle for a number of years, has moved to Nashville, Tennessee, where the House of Cards is now, and is slowly converting that into something that has that kind of a feel, kind of like the Magic Castle in many ways. For an example, that you cannot take photos inside there, but they have a photographer who goes around and gives you complimentary photos and that kind of a thing, and also schedule shows, the dinner that they have afterwards, that you have scheduled times for your shows. They have a couple of close-up areas. They don't have actually rooms yet, but I'm sure that's going to be coming. But aside from that, it just has a really nice feel to it. And one of the nice things I said, it's kind of like a speakeasy from the standpoint that whenever that you make reservations, that you were given information as to where to go to valet your car, which is free, by the way, and then when you do, then they will walk you across and take you through these doors to show you where the place is, because it doesn't have a sign out front. It is not marked. You don't know really where you're going except for this general address. And so it's kind of a secret place. And when you kind of get down there, well, I'm not going to spoil it for you. Let me just say it's phenomenal. It's a great place. And so when we went there, that I went with my friend Tom Vorjehand and Pam Arnold. And so we had a wonderful dinner. And while we were there, we spoke a little bit, first of all, with the server, the lady Jill, who was extremely cooperative and very nice and congenial, and helped us and kind of gave us a little bit of a detail for a first-time visitor, that they always tell people what to expect when you're there at the House of Cards. So she speaks to us first, and then, of course, have a conversation with Joey Martinez to tell us what he has been bringing to the table and kind of what has been happening and perhaps some of the things that might be going on into the future, as well as talking about some of his experiences at the Magic Castle in Hollywood. It's always interesting because they have a lot of celebrities, obviously, in Hollywood who will be attending the castle, since it's a private club, whereas the House of Cards is open to the public, but they have a lot of celebrities too, because in Nashville you've got the country western people, singers, a lot of musicians who are coming in from time to time, and it's a very fancy place, and they have a dress code, much like what the Magic Castle does as well, where that you have to wear no jeans, but which is interesting because in Nashville, where you do have a lot of people who dress in jeans and expensive jeans then as well, but that's not appropriate attire for the House of Cards. As Joey says, if you don't want to adhere to our dress code, plenty of places on down the street. Just keep on walking. And that doesn't seem to hurt their business. They are packed all the time, open 7 nights a week, and they are very busy. So anyhow, I just thought it was a very interesting place, and I thought you might like to hear a little bit more about it. And also be sure to go to the website at themagicwordpodcast.com, where I've got some photos that that we can share that were from the their website then as well, because again, they don't let you take photos inside. I'd love to, but at least I can show you a couple of things that I've been able to get from their website. Anyhow, I think you'll enjoy hearing a little bit of the background and the insight into this new club and fabulous club. So please welcome my guests here this week, talking about the House of Cards on this week's episode of The Magic Word. All right, well, we are here at the House of Cards and just starting for dinner, and Jill is our lovely server this evening, and she's going to tell us a little bit about what we can expect tonight. So lay it on me. What are we going
to do? All right, so you want me to start from the beginning?
Yes, I do.
All right, because I have no other tables. It's okay.
I love you, but he's tipping big over there.
Okay, so I'll give him all the checks, all the checks. I'll have him pick up the other table. All right, so our main attraction is a 30-minute magic show in the auditorium right here at the end of this wall.
Right.
You are going to get complimentary tickets at the end of your meal. They come with a paid entree. Once your dinner order is placed with us, you can visit Thurston, our spirit piano player. He's over by the stained glass window. You can request a song for Thurston to play, and he'll play that for you, hopefully.
Okay.
Across from Thurston, you'll see a memorabilia cabinet, and that houses Houdini's handcuffs, amongst some really cool antique magic games. Now, behind Thurston, there is a cobblestone alcove with a door that leads to the waterfall patio outside. And out there, you are able to take all the pictures you'd like, and you can also smoke. We just don't allow photography in the restaurant or the theater, but we do have Becca. She's our house photographer this evening, and she will come by and take a complimentary photo of you. All right? Once, I think that was it. I think I got you.
Well, then afterward, there are some other magic shows we can see, the close-up.
Oh, because I have to repeat myself, because I did say that already. Okay, so after you finish dinner, and maybe before you go into the show, there are two up-close magic tables in the restaurant, and there are three magicians between those two tables, so make sure that you do catch all of their acts. They perform 15, 20-minute acts.
Just kind of intermittently throughout the evening, just kind of sit and catch it when you can.
Well, catch it after dinner or when you come out of the theater, okay?
Because you're open until when?
We're open until 11 o'clock or 12. 11 is the kitchen closes, 12 we're here. Okay?
Kind of an early night.
If you say so.
I say so. Anything else that you could tell us aside from the food? What do you recommend, by the way?
Okay. Well, are you into having steak tonight? Because we have a mean ribeye. Really nice split bone ribeye. The marrow gives it extra flavor into the meat. Very tender, wet aged.
Pork chop, I heard, was really good.
Pork chop is very good. That was my next suggestion. The chef usually cooks that medium, and it comes with Brussels, and it comes with a potato apple hash.
And there's some risotto as well that's supposed to be pretty good.
There's a mushroom risotto. You must like mushrooms. There are three different types of mushrooms.
What kind of mushrooms are there?
Well, they're going to be chanterelle, hen of the woods, and
criminy.
All right.
Morel.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah.
You're a professional, aren't you?
I don't like this thing pointing at me. It's making me lose what I know. Just all of a sudden,
you're
I'm old.
You're not used to talking to a microphone.
Do stuff
hey,
like
you're much younger than me.
I don't think
you
so.
You could be my daughter.
I'm not sure of that. I'm totally not sure of that. It's dark in here.
This is great. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. You can't take pictures in here.
I know that.
Damn it. What is he trying to do to me? All right. I am going
Thank
to
you very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
I am going to leave you to the menu.
All right.
And I will return.
We will. Thank
I'm
you very much, Jill.
Night.
You're awesome. You're here all night. Okay, yeah. And so there we go.
at the House of Cards. And so I got a little bit about kind of what you could expect over here then, too. I wish we could take some photos, but this is very much like what I would imagine the Magic Castle. Well, I know what the Magic Castle is as far as kind of dark, dimly lit interior. And so, yeah, dim. I've got Tom Vorjahan over here. So, Tom, why don't you give me your opinion?
You know, the ambiance of this room from the moment you walk in, I think, is absolutely captivating. And if I was going to have a place called the House of Cards, it's what it should look like. And you have decor, you have posters, and Scott, you and I even talked. There's posters you and I have never seen. We're sitting next to one of them, and it's just a spectacle to walk around the room and see the magic. But most importantly, the excitement of all the people. And this room is packed. The excitement of all the people who are here to see the House of Cards, to be at a magic venue. That is exciting. Do you not agree?
I do. I agree. And I like the dress code, and they've done a lot of things here very much like the Magic Castle. Since they brought in Joey Martinez, that Joey's, you know, handling this beautifully, and he was the main guy at the door that everybody saw at the Magic Castle when you came in. And since he's come here as the director of operations, that he's done a lot of, well, I didn't see it to begin with as you did, but from what I see, there are a lot of similarities between this and the Magic Castle.
In a word, wow. What Joey's has accomplished is incredible. A total transformation. Do you not agree with me, Pam?
I totally agree. It's a big change from when it first started.
And you can see it in the enthusiasm of the people, the bartenders, the staff. When we were here, it wasn't during the soft opening, but in the early phases, the waiter was still very awkward and not understanding. This lady, Jill, is just having a blast and gets it. She understands the whole concept, and it's coming across, I hope, to the tables that don't have magicians at them. I'm assuming, because there's not a sad-looking table in the bunch. I mean, listen to the din around us, Scott. There is excitement, there is enthusiasm about magic. And, Lord, you can't ask for any more.
You know, I know on their website that they say that they do have a dress code, certainly, but a tie is not required, whereas the Magic Island or Castle, they'll hand you a tie. I would say, as I look around here, I don't see many gentlemen without ties. Everyone's wearing a jacket, certainly, at least. And so when they come like that, there is an expectation of this being a special occasion.
You know, because you said that, and because I'm feeling a little choked, I'm taking mine off as you speak.
Well, it looks like a noose around your neck. You don't look comfortable in that. So, no, yes, you do, actually. You look quite dapper, I might say, my friend.
Thank you.
So, yes, anyhow, this is a nice venue. I'm anxious to go and see the show. Kevin King is the one performing here this evening, and they do have scheduled shows. Much again like the castle, where that you'll have certain things. And as she was saying, there are two stations for close-up. They're not actual rooms, but they're just kind of little areas that they've kind of cordoned off, I guess, over there, so that you can perform. And the guy working the bar, you know, and kind of around. So Jason was showing us some really good stuff from the Mondal or Sarah's Matrix coin routine and some other stuff. That the guys are really good. I mean, they're seasoned pros who are working here, so you get the idea that it really is a place where people can come and dine and have something different. This is Music City. Here we are in Nashville, Tennessee, where you do see a lot of really great acts and music playing around, and they're proving now that magic can compete with music, which is interesting, because typically whenever that you tell someone, well, I'm a magician, they say, really, what instrument do you play? And obviously as a magician, you can say, I'm a magician, go down to the House of Cards, see this place.
And you were talking to a gentleman at the bar who just came up, got himself a drink, who came into town to see Bob Seger. And so they went to that last night, and then he made a purpose to come here tonight. And you think, wow, of all the things you could have done in this music city, and he picked to come to the magic venue, that's big. That's huge. And what a renaissance of magic. What a, you know, as we got it going on, as you and I talked earlier today, all the different places from the Magic Island in Houston. You have the place in Chicago, the Magic Lounge. You have a place opening in Chicago and Philadelphia. It is amazing to see. People love magic. You know, God bless the guys who are putting it on TV, the Penn and Teller Foolus, the Carbonaro. Folks love this stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're really in a golden age of magic. There is so much going on around the world, but particularly in the U.S., and that's complemented not only by the shows we see on television, but live shows like this, where it's getting to be more and more popular for a live venue, but then also touring shows like The Illusionists. And, you know, Derek Delgadio had just had that fantastic show. I didn't get a chance to see it in New York, and Joshua Jay also has a great show. I didn't get to see that, though, either, but that was another one-man show. So I know that there are a lot of venues in which people are going to be able then to see live magic, and so that's why I think that really we are seeing kind of a new heyday or maybe resurgence in a new golden era, you know, of magic, so to speak. So anyhow, I'm looking forward to dinner and to seeing the rest of this, and if we get a chance, maybe we can talk to Joey a little bit more. He kind of shown us around a little bit and gave us a little bit of history, and so if I can get him to recap that again, then that'll be great. Tom?
You know, Joey's energy is contagious, and I hope that it continues to make this place grow. I mean, he was just talking to us earlier, 3, 4, 5 different things that are going to make this bigger and better within the next year. And I hope that it just, his energy and his enthusiasm for this just keeps going.
Yeah, I think that it will. You know, it's moving the right direction. So anyhow, that'll be enough, I think, for right now. We're going to take our order and we'll kind of move on. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Tom Vorjahan, Pam Arnold, here at the House of Cards. Scotty out. All right, Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are at Nashville's House of Cards. I'm here with Joey Martinez, Director of Operations. Is that right? What's your title?
Absolutely, Director of
Operations.
You're
the guy. I got it right first time, right out of the chute. Joey, welcome to Nashville from Los Angeles and Hollywood, California, where you were the, not the maitre d', you were like the smiling
face. I
was the
floor manager there, yes.
The floor manager. I don't like that. You know, the floor manager always seems like a department store guy, you know. He makes sure the mannequins are sitting up properly, you know. That's what you did more than that. You were the man. You and Jack Goldfinger, the ones that always felt like, hey, welcome home, you know.
Yeah,
I feel good, you know.
I came up with the welcome home.
You were the guy.
About, 7 years ago almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because it's a home away from home.
It is.
It's a place where magic has found a home.
Yeah.
I know that there's many, many magic facilities throughout the world, but there's only one Magic Castle, and I believe that's where magic lives.
Has there ever been anybody have the position that you had that was there? I mean, I've never really seen, like, somebody at the door who is a doorman and a maitre d' and welcoming. I mean, they always have just the person who is there, and you go in, you give them your name, and the, you know, open sesame. But never anybody like you who kind of made sure that you got the photos taken out front and all that.
Right.
That's a relatively new thing, isn't it?
Yeah, when
the
I got
past 5 years
on,
or so?
Yeah, I'm saying about 6 years. But when I got hired on, it was because of the membership that I was able to go into different facilities. So, like, between bar helping, or helping with the bar, helping with the restaurant, helping with the show times, helping with performers and where they stayed at, helping with the valet. So I was able to be embraced by the community, the membership. Mm-hmm. And so when there was a situation, they seemed to turn to me. And they were like, hey, Joey, can you help me here and can you help me there? And, you know, anything I could do to help further the art of magic, I got no problem with that.
Right.
So anything, I looked at it as a privilege.
How'd you really
an
get
honor
to have that passion for magic? I mean, you really do have more passion than most people I've seen who are non-magicians. You're not even a magician.
No, I do make people disappear, but that's about as far as I go with magic.
But we can't talk much more about that. You know?
But, you know, I got embraced as a family, and I believe in loyalty and commitment.
Yeah.
And they gave me that opportunity. I said it once in Genie magazine. I was able to talk about it, and you know what it was is that people that were there, the magicians that were performing, explained to me and gave me the same feeling that they had of calling that place a home.
Right.
So I was able to embrace that and move that forward.
Right. What was one of the I know you had to let some people know they can't come in because they're not dressed properly. Give me a couple of stories about some problems you've had.
I mean, we get it all the time. I mean, especially being in Hollywood, you'll get a guy that shows up in $1,200 pairs of jeans. And
we were just talking about that today. It's like, hey, these are torn jeans. I paid $1,200. I don't care. They're still torn jeans.
Right. And so the simple response is I have a $12 pair of slacks that I can let you borrow if you want to come in.
Okay.
Like one of the things that we kind of force it on the people is to respect the club.
Yeah.
And so we want that. We want to keep that same level all the way across. So it doesn't matter who you are. If you're out of dress code, you won't get in.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, we did pretty good on that. I mean, the loaner.
Did you ever
have
to eject anybody?
Oh, I've ejected plenty of people.
Because they're drunk or what?
Most of the time it's drunk. Or if they disrespect Magic in any way, they got to go. That's what I make them disappear.
Yeah. Well, I was working in the close-up room one night, and someone had a heart attack, and they had to take him right out the side door right after my show.
I mean, we've had plenty of those, especially in the close-up room because of the standing. People will lock their knees, and they'll fall right down. But, you know, we try to remind people, bend your knees. We have such a great team there that, I mean, I think it's down to like a 45-second response time there now. Of any problems, anybody drinking.
They were there medical. Pretty quick. Yeah,
we're pretty fast there.
Yeah. So were you really the bouncer as well as what you would kind of call your...
Yeah, you know, I was an all-around guy. I mean, I got to...
Whatever.
I got to get in where I fit in, right? That's what they told me.
Get in
and
where you
so
fit in.
So I was able to get around and, you know, we started some good things there.
So tell me about some of the celebrities who have come in. I mean, like, I mean, what was it like? I mean, when they come in, they have entourages sometimes or anybody...
It's not so much of the entourage. It's more of just allowing them to be themselves. And
that's
by
an
doing
important
that,
thing.
Yeah. And we can't control the other people. So that's
why you don't
we
want people
to
ask them for autographs and you can't take photos and all that because they want them to. You want those celebrities to feel like this is where they can go to be entertained.
Absolutely, and that's the reality of it. I mean, in Hollywood, when the entertainers want to be entertained, they come see Magic. That's the one beautiful thing about Magic is that we
all
have no
it?
Boundaries. I'd say maybe 75% of the celebrities that came to visit who weren't members are actually members now because of their experience. Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're able to come in there and be themselves, and we can just make sure that the people don't bother them. Yeah. I mean, we've had some celebrities that we found out were magicians, and they were low-key. I mean, I'm not going to put them by name, but he came in there, and I noticed his lingo. His language was changing into Magic. And because of it, I asked him. I said, do you have a deck of cards on you?
Yeah.
And he, you know, real shyly pulled out a deck of cards. I said, you're a magician.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I don't consider myself a magician. Well, with that being said, he ended up auditioning, and now he's a magician member at the Magic Castle.
Right. But you can't say who that is.
Nah.
No, I understand. Yeah, the privacy. But I do know, of course, that we all know famously that... That Neil Patrick Harris was the president. So he must, I've heard Joe Furlow say what a great guy he was, you know.
Well, he was an amazing boss. I mean, he had a...
He was your boss, basically?
Well, yeah. He's a president. The presidents are always going to be my bosses. You still got to answer to them. But he had a goal. We met the goal. He gave us the exposure that we needed and just gave us that extra boost to get us past. Now we're very successful there.
Right. The waiting list of at least 6 months to get in, right?
Right. Yeah, it's huge. And I think they even upped the membership now.
Do they keep the same percentage as far as magicians versus non-magicians?
I think they try to.
Okay.
I don't know too
like
much on that part of it.
Or something?
Right. That's way above my pay grade.
Okay.
But I believe that is their goal. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, just briefly in talking, because we are right now in Nashville at the House of Cards, and this has been here for less than a year. When
yes,
did it
sir.
Open?
It opened April 9th.
Okay.
April 9th.
Yep. And so it has not close-up rooms, but it has a kind of a parlor-esque. I mean, what do we have, about 10,000 or 8,000 square feet or something?
I think we have a little bit under 10,000 square feet.
Okay. Great dining. I just had one of the most marvelous meals here. It was really
isn't
great.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
I love it here.
I would recommend the pork chop that we had.
That's my personal favorite. I love that pork chop.
It was really good. But then also that where we are right now is sitting outside where we got like a smoking lobby, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
So
we do sell
cigars.
Yeah, we sell cigars here. We have anything from entry level, like beginning cigars, which is like a vanilla flavored, to some more finer, some Arturo Fuentes, some Cardiff. So we do have some really good selection. So we're able to come outside and enjoy it.
Now, how many?
We even have a magician out performing in the patio.
Yep, I say Jason. What's Jason's last name?
Mr. Flores.
Yeah,
it's great addition.
He entertained us over at the bar. So he's kind of a strolling guy, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he's my go-to guy anytime I have a problem. I believe magic can solve any problem. And so I put the magician on them, and by the time they're done with him, they leave here happy as can be.
So you have two stations, not really rooms, but where close-up guys
right.
work. And so do you have three people that rotate among those?
We have three there and the two stations, and then we have the performer that performs in the – and it's in a parlor slash stage.
Because it's really not a stage where they can do illusions, not that
right.
large of a stage. And seats about, what, 80 people or
– Yes. Okay. We'll cram 80 people in there, no problem.
Okay. But overall, as far as diners, how many people would you typically get like on a like tonight? Obviously, it's pretty well crowded. What would you say? You
right.
have about
so
300
we're averaging
people?
About 300 to 350 people on the weekends.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like it's really good. I mean, the fact that they've had a really just not open that long, but this is really an entertainment city. This is known as Music City. And what I think is interesting is right here at Johnny Cash Museum, I mean, it's not something that you really see. It's not like there's a big thing out front that says this is the House of Cards. You have to go through the Johnny Cash Museum and then
Absolutely.
Take the elevator downstairs into the basement.
It's very speakeasy.
That's exactly. I'm glad you said that.
Yes.
I was just telling Tom Vorjahan that same thing earlier when we had dinner. I said, I feel like this is a speakeasy kind of a place. You know.
And, you know, a lot of the Nashvillians, for better lack of or better vocabulary, have said when they're down here, they don't even feel like they're in Nashville.
Yeah.
And when they come out to the patio with our beautiful waterfall, it drowns out all the noise.
Yeah.
So they don't
we're
even
We're in the
feel
middle
like
of downtown
Broadway.
Right here.
Right. We're right off of Broadway, where it's the loudest and the most rowdiest. But here you have well-dressed people, great drinks.
Got a great dress code,
food.
Much like
Absolutely.
A magic castle.
It, you know, it's Nashville formal. You know, the Cowboys are still here. We got the boots and the jeans, but jackets are required. So we got to keep that level.
You allow jeans?
For the gentlemen. The gentlemen are allowed jeans, the women are not.
Women have to wear dresses or they wear pantsuits?
No, they can wear pantsuits.
Because I know at the castle they can't have pantsuits.
Right. Well, in the castle they can wear pantsuits as long as it's one. It's called a jumper and not the romper.
Okay, so Hillary Clinton would come with a pantsuit. What would that be considered?
It'd be fine as long as she had a matching black jacket.
Okay, gotcha. Have you ever had, you got jackets and ties and things at the castle. Do you have things for ladies that they got to change?
Yes, we have dresses and shawls.
Have you ever had people do that?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
Do they just drop it right there or they go in?
No. We go into the restroom, of course. We come over into the restroom. And, yeah. I mean, we had a good time there. I mean, everybody wants to have a good time.
$17. All right, we just had to take a quick break over there because he is in the middle of actually working tonight, and so he can't talk to me exclusively all the time. So as we said earlier, I got Tom Vorjahan here. Hey there, Tom.
Hey, buddy.
So you like this? What about the season?
Look,
what do you think about
we got
this?
30 people out here on this patio
on this
right
veranda.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
And look around. Again, not an unhappy face amongst them.
Well, there's, everybody's been drinking.
There's not a... Okay, yeah. And they've also been watching magic.
Well, that's true. They're here for that. They're not just here for the food and the drink, but they're here for their friends and also to see magic. And I see that Jason's over there. He's got 15 people surrounding him.
And, you know, I've been watching this since it started because friends with Jason Michaels, friends with Stephen Bergazzi, Kevin King.
Yeah.
Friends with Chris Raymond, watched them as they did stuff early on.
Right.
And it's still growing. It's still improving. And wow.
Yeah.
Like you
this
said,
the open
dinner
lesson
was
here.
Incredible.
Yeah. There's Jill again. Very good.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Jill.
Oh, it's cold out, so you have a hat on.
Yes, we got a little, he's got a little cap on there this evening. So we were just saying that the food was incredible. Really enjoy the ambiance, the verve that has been created, I think. You know, it's just so exciting, I think, with, it's pretty crowded. Now, has this been pretty crowded also? I mean, like every Friday, Saturday?
Oh, yes.
How
so
many nights
weekends.
A week are you open?
We're open 7 days a week.
7 days a week.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have, like, brunch on Saturdays or Sundays?
Not yet.
And I think Jill actually works 8 days a week.
I think you do.
It's an old Beatles
I think
song.
A Beatles actually. That's
it's
right.
It's just because I'm old.
No, you are not. Even in good lighting, you still look good, Jill.
Actually, I still look great. And we were still together. She was like,
I want what you've been drinking all night long.
Okay.
Just want to be there.
Well, this has been a great experience. We've really been
I'm
enjoying
glad you
it.
Enjoyed yourself.
And I've not seen any magic yet. So,
all
you know,
right.
I just,
well, you know what?
I just like the ambiance of the place.
The
and
magic
I, you know.
Was getting the food to the table. You got to finish it. And now the fun begins.
Yes. And now the fun begins, so I can actually watch all the magic. Because we'll be here until 11 o'clock, and then they're going to turn on the lights, so you got to go.
No. The kitchen closes at 11.
Okay.
But we're open until 12 or whenever people decide to, you know, wander out. You know.
Right.
Now, right. Jill, how long have you been here?
I came in April, the end of April.
When did you start here?
When did it open?
Well, they did a soft opening. I missed that. So they opened. Their actual official date was April 9th.
So I was just telling Scott about the growth and the change. Are you seeing, are you feeling a change? Are you feeling a difference even in attitudes of people?
Yes, because I think everybody likes the atmosphere here. I mean, there are some people that get turned away because we have a strict dress code, but there's plenty of places on Broadway if you want to wear flip-flops and
just
shorts.
Going down the street.
Yes. Just, you know what, we want a nice experience all around for the customer. So, and I think we're achieving that, but everybody is giving very good feedback.
Well, Tom, you told me that early on that there was really not that feeling as far as what the staff appreciated magic and worked closely with it, but that has changed.
It seemed very different tonight. And, you know, maybe it was Jill. I don't know. Maybe we have to have another waiter to find out if it's just Jill that gets it. But
she gets it.
Yes.
You understand what the magic is, the importance of magic has.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But we also, it's dinner and the show. So we have to do both ends, right. You know. We have to make sure that you're having a good time, you're getting a good meal.
Oh, Scott is a close-up magician. You know, the worst thing to feel is like I am in the way of the waiters and waitstaff.
Right.
And that I'm just not supposed to be there. And you don't get that now. Of course, the magicians aren't coming to the tables here.
Yes.
But to get the whole picture of why people are coming here for more than just a meal, I think is awesome. And I think Joey has done phenomenal since he's been here.
Very much so.
Listen, thank you very much. Appreciate Jill. Okay.
My pleasure. And it was a pleasure.
For the Magic Word Podcast. There's Jill. The Magic Word Podcast. And also, here we are, House Cards. Scotty out. All right, I'm back over here then with Joey Martinez again. It's a little bit less noisy than what we had a while ago, and he had to be called away because you have a lot of duties throughout the evening.
I do. We have a fun time here.
And I had a fun time this evening. The evening is winding down, or soon be turning morning here shortly, and people are starting to slowly fade, it looks like. Do people go from here to another club, or is that kind of done? I mean, it's a young crowd. That's why I wonder if they kind of go clubbing it from here to somewhere else, you know?
Well, they do have that opportunity here in Nashville. That's one of the things that I like about for the performers as well when they come here is that because we close at midnight, they're still able to go out. I think the bars are open till 3. They shut down for about an hour.
Yeah.
So I noticed that in the beginning when I first started coming here, people were dining and then just leaving. Not so much interested in the magic. So what we did was we added more magic and try to get them to stay here a little bit longer.
But you discourage people from going to the tables. I mean, same with the castle and same with the island, Magic Island. We don't have people going around table hopping because you know, that's a different kind of restaurant. That's not what this is.
Right. That's the Vinny's Pizzeria.
Yeah. Good
that's
point.
Not here.
Yeah. You want something that's going to make it special, but they have to go to a room somewhere to see the magic. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's the thing about it. Magic is that building up the anticipation and actually being able to see a show instead of just a few tricks, I think it magnifies the effect that it can have on people through magic.
Right, right. Now, one thing you were telling me also that this place is not really well lit. I was going to say they don't have signs really out front. It's mainly, if you're going to be coming to Nashville and look for it, it's in the Johnny Cash Museum. So tell me a little bit about that. So the guy who owns this also owns the whole building, actually, and all the Cash Museum. And,
yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's one of the secretive part about it is that
it's
you
like
find
a speakeasy.
Out. Yeah, you find out when you make the reservation, where to go. We give you directions to the valet. And then from there, you're greeted by a door person that will walk you down. Mm-hmm. There's a key code to get in. So it adds that little ambiance feature that it's not not well known here in Nashville.
Right. So that is certainly a little bit different. And and the owner was friends with Johnny Cash. You said
absolutely.
I thought that was pretty cool.
I believe they had a really good relationship for many, many years. So they were buddies. And so with that, that's what brought them
and
out.
And godfather
here to
his son.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
It's pretty cool. And so they were trying to open a museum out in California, but thought, hey, Nashville's where we ought to take it. And so came here and said.
Oh, yeah, he has a great, great story to come here. I mean, I believe he's one of the youngest, if not the youngest, mayor in California. being the mayor of Corona. So he has a love for the art,
right?
And magic.
That's what's important.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we need that more when it comes to magic venues. You'll get people that are just in it for the money, know that magic sells. Mm-hmm. But to get somebody to embrace magic the way magicians do,
right?
I think it's a plus.
But he came to the Magic Castle, and that's where he met you, I guess?
I've known him for many years, yes. Yeah. But he's been a member for over 10 years, way before me.
Right. So there are some plans still for this to hopefully expand to the next floor and perhaps beyond. So
yeah, I believe
grow,
so.
Maybe.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're hoping for.
I mean, a lot of things have changed just over the last 6 months or so since that you've been open and since you've come out and everything then, too. And the fellow actually who books the talent is Jason Michaels.
Jason Michaels, director of entertainment, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's local.
He lives here in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Does a lot of motivational speaking and does a lot of work with the armed services.
Which is why that he's not here right now talking, because he's actually on tour doing something with you.
Entertaining our troops.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
With magic. What do you know?
Yeah. You see Bragazzi and Christian Painter are out doing this. So that's great. Those guys are doing that. So, yeah. As I say, I see now that they're kind of starting to get everything all taken care of and cleaning up the tables and whatnot, because the bar and the restaurant closes at 11 o'clock, but this closes about midnight.
Yes, sir.
And they're going to, you think, eventually start doing more bar magic over here then, too?
I'm hoping so. I mean, for the way our bar is set up, there's not much room for bar magic. Mm-hmm. So we'd have to make some drastic changes for that to happen. But we do have a magician behind the bar who loves to do.
Yeah,
you know,
Jason was doing a great job, I think, But you're right. It seems like that he was having to get out of the way of the server, you know, and the bartender was, you know, shaking drinks and whatnot. So there's really not a magician station.
Right.
You know.
I mean, our goal here is to have a total body experience. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is we create magic in the kitchen. We serve it on the tables. And that magic goes straight to their belly.
like
we create magic with the bartenders who have the most wonderful drinks in the world.
Yeah.
And that puts that magic right down their throats. Mm-hmm. And then the magicians just blow their brains right out the back of their heads. So
total immersion.
We get a total body experience.
Yeah. Now, one thing also that while we're here and start to kind of wrap up is that I think the fact that this is called the House of Cards, it's interesting that on all the pillars there are pictures of cards, and they have little brass plaques and things. You showed me one over there that was from 1490 that was an old card. So it is a house really with a lot of cards in it.
Absolutely. I mean, why not? Why wouldn't you have that, right?
Right.
I mean, it is a House of Cards. He's got a great collection. That one is over 500 years old. And I believe there's only like around five from that time period.
Okay.
And I believe we have the
world.
Oldest one. Yes, sir.
Wow,
yes,
that's
sir.
Amazing.
And everything here is authentic. That's what scared me at first, because, you know, I'm used to California. So I'm like, why are you leaving that stuff out there? And he says, well, we're not in California anymore.
Yeah, yeah. How did they come up with the name of the House of Cards? Is there a story or a legend or anything? No?
I don't know that story.
Okay. Because I'd heard something about how that when he was buying something or buying a playing card at auction, thought he was going to be getting just one card, and then they gave him a whole box of cards, which was like basically can build a whole house of cards.
Oh, wow,
you know?
Yeah.
That's what I heard. Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay,
well, I'll go with that.
Okay.
You know, magic. You know what I mean? Sometimes we make stories up.
Sure. Let's go with that. That sounds good. So anything else that you can tell us about this or the future or kind of what plans or if people want to come out, where do they go for a website to get more information and make reservations? Which
I believe they go. They can make them. They can make reservations on OpenTable, which is an app where they can make reservations. And they can also go to our website at www.hocnashville.com. They make reservations here. The goal is to have new performers here every week so that you can have a different experience. Mm-hmm. And so we're hoping that that comes true.
Yep. Well, you know, this really is a nice club, and I can see where a lot of people will want to start coming through here. So Jason might start getting loaded up here soon with a lot of people trying
to... I'm pretty sure he's already loaded up if he's not yet. But, you know, we're going to be out representing at some of the local conventions, some of the national conventions. Meeting with magicians and lining them up, and looking forward and furthering the art of magic.
You got it done. You got it right. So let me ask you, what is your magic word? What is your phrase? What do you live by? What's your philosophy of life?
Well, I believe that I'm truly blessed and highly favored. And it shows every day when I get embraced by magicians, and I receive a lot of love, and I hope I can return that love back to all the magicians in the world.
Man, couldn't have said it better. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So from the House of Cards, that was Joey Martinez. This is Scotty out.
Well, that was fun, and I hope that you enjoyed visiting the House of Cards with me on a virtual tour, and I'm sorry that I didn't get a chance to speak with Jason Michaels, who is the entertainment director for the House of Cards. When I was there, he was out actually performing. It wasn't the USO tour, but he was along with Christian Painter and Steve Ragazzi and some others doing some magic for our troops. So thank you, Jason, for the help you've been doing for our servicemen. And also, I'm sorry that we didn't get a chance to visit this time, but I think we got a pretty good idea of what the inside is like. It's this way that you guys can visualize that, and hope you felt like you were sitting there beside me as we were talking all the time then, too. And for some pictures of the inside, as I mentioned, that they don't allow photos to be taken, but they have some special photos. They had a photographer come in. So if you go to their website, you can see some of those. Or if you go to themagicwordpodcast.com for this week's episode, you can then see some of the videos that I have extracted from their website that you can kind of get an idea of what the place looks like from the inside. As well, of course, getting a chance to see a picture of Jill, our server, and also with Joey. So thank you both, Jill and Joey, for being my guests this week and telling us a little bit more about the House of Cards. All right. Well, since this podcast was just a little bit short, we've got some time for some additional product reviews from Murphy's Magic Supplies Trick Department. What other department do they have? I guess they've got shipping and distribution and accounting. Nevertheless, anyhow, we're going to review three different tricks that have come to us from Murphy's Magic Supplies and are available, of course, from your favorite magic dealer. Of course, we have a magic shop here at the Magic Word Podcast, so you can always click on that tab and kind of see if you want to order there. You may have your other favorite magic online dealer. That's fine, too. I always recommend if you can buy from brick-and-mortar magic shops, go support them. Please do. Anyhow, three things. Really cool. Magic should always be visual, certainly. Well, okay, maybe in the mind. Let's talk about mentalism. Okay, it's a whole different discussion, and we probably talked about that here on the podcast somewhere in the past in some of these episodes over the last 470-plus. Anyhow, with this one, three things we're going to be talking about. They are very, very visual. And one of them is a wonderful opener. Another one is a nice middle piece. And the other one is a great one that you could do as an impromptu kind of a thing that you can carry with you. The ideas of three things we're going to talk about is Maxwell's signature opener, the Monty test by Anthony Stan, and Buyer's Remorse that comes to us from George Iglesias. All right, first out of the chute, I think it would be only appropriate to talk about an opening trick, which is Maxwell's signature opener. This is from the Other Brothers, and again, available from your favorite magic dealer. Inside the package, we kind of open this up over here, you really get a couple of cool things. First of all, you get what appears to be, and it is, a Sharpie. Disguised therein also is a golf pencil. And the idea is that as a quick opener that you show, I'm doing this actually as I'm describing this. I'm actually holding the prop in my hand and doing it just that easily, where you're displaying a pencil, just a golf pencil, and saying that I'd like for you to sign your card, but all I've got is a pencil. Does anybody happen to have a Sharpie? And as you're looking around, then you say, okay, well, hey, we'll just use mine. And then suddenly it changes into a Sharpie. You take off the top and let them sign the card. It actually works. And so you get the cool gimmick that is the pencil to Sharpie. And then also the an hermetically sealed little thing that keeps the pen tips with ink. So this way that you can reuse it. And if it runs out of ink, they tell you how to change it out. Anyhow, the 42-minute online DVD or online instructions that you receive not only talk about the pen and how that it's made and how the care and feeding of it, which is really not all that difficult. And you don't need to really buy any additional things. You have Sharpies around if you need to put new pins into the cartridge in order to, after so many uses. Anyhow, that you included in the instructional video are several different ideas of very visual types of ways of making the Sharpie appear, and where that is going to be coming apparently from out of nowhere. I mean, you have it in your back pocket, you pull out a pencil, and then it changes to the Sharpie. You hand that out, and there really isn't anything to see, particularly. If you are familiar with Chris Smith's Double Cross, which is a fantastic trick of itself, if you don't have that, I agree with the other brothers, go buy that. Don't pass go, collect $200, just go and get that right now, because that is beyond a doubt a killer. Something that should almost be a closing trick. Anyhow, not enough on that review. We're talking here about Maxwell's signature opener. I recommend this. It's really a cool little opener. It's nothing more than you would carry. Anyhow, you're going to need to carry a Sharpie, so you might as well be using this one. You can obviously switch it out for another one. You could switch it out then for the other Double Cross, because it looks exactly like this pen then also. But nevertheless, I would say that this is a great one for an opening trick that you, again, we always use a Sharpie for something in close-up, and so why not carry this one? I would recommend it from the other brothers, again, called Maxwell's Signature Opener. Next up for review is the Monty Test by Anthony Stan. This, as it says, is an original three-card Monty, and the idea of this is that you have, obviously, just the traditional Monty. Well, I say traditional. Traditionally, that you kind of are tossing the boards, you know, just kind of tossing the cards around. This is, as it says in the back, an original version of the famous three-card Monty routine. Anthony Stan presents you a new approach with multiple phases where you finish completely clean. Included, you get not only the cards, but the instructions in both English and in French. It's ready out of the box. Mine wasn't. The quality control wasn't exactly up to par. It seems like I was a little switching around and had to do with the cards that was needed. Wasn't a big problem. Got it taken care of, but easy to do. Yes, it is easy to do, but it does take some memory because it's something that you would have to do on a fairly regular basis to kind of remember all the different phases and how that it works. It is easy to do, certainly. It's a beginner type of a trick. The last one couldn't be a beginner trick even. There couldn't be a better beginning trick, beginner's trick, than the last one we just talked about, Maxwell's Signature Opener. I mean, so easy even a caveman can do it. Hope I'm not insulting any cavemen. Anyhow, the also that this one is very easy to do also, but it does have multiple phases, just as the instructions say. And at the end, it is examinable that you hand out the cards. There are a couple of gimmick cards that you are working with during the handling of this, and so essentially, you are going to be having one odd card. Let's say two red cards. Let's say the eight of hearts and the eight of diamonds, and then you also have the eight of clubs. So you have one which is a black card. Turn them face down. They're all blue cards. Switch them around and do show where you have them guess where that they where the black card is, the black eight of clubs. And then they're wrong. Ultimately, when you say, okay, well, let's do it face up, and whenever that they do it, then you show that the odd card actually has changed colors and the back is now a red back, and then another two blue. And then it changes back again to blue, and you put that into your pocket, and then they guess, because then you kind of whittle it down basically to two cards, which of these you think is going to be the odd card, and they're wrong again. You reach in your pocket, you pull that card back out to show that it was over in your pocket the whole time, and then you hand those out for examination. So it is, as I said, in the instructions, a multiple phase routine. It is something that requires some work. It is easy to do, but it just takes a little bit of memory. It's one of those things that I think that you have to do on kind of a regular basis in order to keep sharp and to disguise the method. There's just a little fiddly bits and trying to get the get your thumbnail underneath where you need to do to split the cards and get this thing to work the way that it needs to be in order for it to work properly. So it's a little bit fiddly, a little bit difficult. It's not something I think that I would do on a regular basis. I do like a three-card Monty routine, but this is not one I think that I would be doing on a regular basis, just because I've got other ways of doing this that to the audience I think is strong. Perhaps this may be stronger. not for me. It's not that I'm not recommending it. I do recommend it. I think it is pretty good for those who are looking for something a little bit different. And if you want to do something that that has a kicker ending kind of a thing and is examinable, I like this. But it's just because of the learning curve, I guess, and having to use this on a regular basis in order to do it proficiently. That is probably not for me because I have other things that are similar. To the audience, a three-card Monty is a three-card Monty. You know, this is really kind of one of those things, I think, kind of for our magicians as opposed to the layman. But if you want to get something that's going to fool the boys at the Magic Club, this would probably be the thing to do. And practice that a little bit, go and show them, and then it goes back in your drawer probably. I don't know how this would be as far as just another thing to carry around with you, as opposed to something that you can do direct from the pack with a regular deck of cards, some other things that you could do. But this is something that would be an additional packet trick to carry around. And I personally don't need another packet trick to take up more space in my pockets, because pocket management is almost as important as audience management in my estimation. So anyhow, recommended with reservation. And again, that's called Monty Test by Anthony Stan. And finally this week, we round out our Three for Thursday with Buyer's Remorse by George Iglesias, who is the owner of Twister Magic. George's got a lot of really good ideas, and I've purchased some things at his dealer booth when we've been at magic conventions. Has a lot of really cool ideas. This particular thing I really like, and I would like to recommend this to you also. And I will recommend this to you, but let me tell you what it does. Essentially, let's say for an example that you have purchased something, and then after you have, then you kind of have buyer's remorse, meaning that this is not really what I wanted to buy, and I wish I had my money back, basically, for it. And so you're showing a receipt, and as you fold the receipt, then you instantaneously open it back up, and then you have cash back in your hand rather than going back to the store. Now, one way, what I think is a nice little subtlety, and he really doesn't go into detail about this, but he talks about having purchased something, let's say at the duty-free shop, when you get on the airplane, and as you're flying home, it's too late to go back to the duty-free shop and get your money back. I mean, of course, if you're going to be going to the pharmacy, or they'd say in England, I guess, the chemist, or that you're going to be going to, Walmart, grocery store, wherever else, that you wish that you had your money back, you'd usually go back to the store and you would get your cash back. And so the story wouldn't quite fly as well, no pun intended, as when you're saying that you're on a plane and that it's just too late to go back to the duty-free shop and you wish you had your money because you can't go back, as opposed to going back to a physical store. You get my point. Anyhow, I like the idea of saying that you had purchased something when you were traveling recently, and as you had crossed the border at the airport, you had gone to the duty-free shop and you're in the airplane, want your money back. You're explaining that to somebody about how when you were traveling, this is the situation. And it changes. And let me also say that the bills that are included with this, I don't know if they have other bills of other currency that is from other countries, let's say like euros or pounds or anything. In this particular case, we are given $100 bills, which look very authentic. They don't have the rag content. They don't feel like a bill. But from a close inspection and close observation, it looks like a real $100 bill on both sides. I mean, where it says United States of America and everything on that. The point being that there's nothing kind of funny that would put off your audience saying, "And let me look at those bills." They can see what it is. And it's a very clever thing. He also then explains how that you can, he includes about four other kinds of receipts so that you can make up your own gimmick, and he includes some additional bills with that as well, so this way that you can make up your own. Or he says that if you have a receipt from a place where you normally shop, you can use this. And he just talks about what the size of the bills, or rather the receipts, need to be in order to make this work, and tells you how to fold the bills and prepare the gimmick and everything so that you can make your own then as well, just because that comes with U.S. bills. He explains that you can do that with your own currency as well. So it really is a great little trick. It's something that at first blush I thought perhaps it looked like a variation of Pat Page's Flash Cash or something, and it's not quite like that at all. In fact, you don't flip it out or anything. It's it is a flash restoration, or I should say a flash appearance of the bills, or a transposition of a receipt into the bills. But also included in the instructional online DVD, if you will, they have an additional thing that's kind of an impromptu kind of a thing. It has nothing to do with the bills, but it is a nice little way in which you can tip your waiter or whenever that you're out to dinner or something, that you can do a trick for your audience and the waiter as well, the wait staff, the server as well. So it is something done with a real bill and a real receipt that doesn't require any gimmicks, any glue or tape or scissors or magnets or anything. It was really kind of cool, and it's a nice little presentation of doing something that in which a receipt is folded up, and you put that into your server's pocket, or they can put that themselves, of course, into their own pocket, and then they reach into back into their pocket with their own hand after you've done the woo-woo, and they pull out, let's say, a $20 bill, which they can keep as a tip, or as he says, that if you want to keep that, you can, or that if you'd like to learn the secret, come back after later on, and I'll be glad to show you how that's done, but it will cost you $20. So anyhow, typically they would keep that. It's a very clever kind of an idea of how to tip your server, and that was included in the video online instructions that you get with this as well. So it's really, again, a pretty cool thing. The gimmick that it comes with is already pre-made. It, again, has some additional bills and additional receipts that you could make up your own with the instructions, again, on telling you how to make it with your own bills from your own country. So, I mean, this has got it all. So I think that George Iglesias did a great job with Buyer's Remorse, and it's something that I would recommend. It's quite visual, and it's something that I think would impress an audience, and certainly it's great around a table, like as an impromptu kind of a thing that you can carry with you. You can put in your wallet and carry whenever that you want to do something a little bit different. It wouldn't necessarily be something that you would do as part of a sit-down formal close-up show. You can, but I think it's better if it's going to be kind of an impromptu kind of a thing that just happen to carry and show. And again, from close inspection, these bills look as authentic as they need to be. So again, that was Buyer's Remorse by George Iglesias, and it comes recommended. So there you have it. Three tricks that may or may not necessarily work for you, but you be the judge. Decide whether that this was helpful for you. I like to have an opportunity to give you my impressions of what I think of these tricks, and I try to give an honest report each time of the things that I receive from Murphy's Magic Supplies. And all of these and more are available, of course, from your favorite magic dealer. And as I said to begin with, I always recommend that you go, first of all, to support your brick-and-mortar magic shops. And if you live someplace where it's not convenient to get to to a shop, then you can use an online shop. And if you haven't got one yet, try out the Magic Word podcast. And by the way, that if you can't purchase anything from us, that you can always buy things from Amazon.com. And when you go and check out there, before you go to Amazon, be sure to go to the bottom of the page of each episode of the Magic Word podcast.com. Go to the website, and at the bottom, there'll be a banner there. You click on that, it'll say Amazon affiliate, and it will take you to Amazon. And there, whatever you purchase, then we get a little bit of love back from Amazon and also from you. So thank you guys very much, and I hope that these reviews are helpful to you. All right, well, I think it's going to be a wrap here for this week, and I want to remind everybody to be sure and tune in next week. We'll have an all-new episode, and also, if you'd like to know who's going to be coming up, then you need to subscribe to our newsletter. When you go to themagicwordpodcast.com, you should have a little pop-up that will say subscribe to the newsletter. Just sign up for that, and we're not going to spam you. We only send these out weekly, and it gives you an update on who is on for this week and who's going to be coming up next week, as well as a suggestion from the archive of someone perhaps that you may may have missed, a nice little conversation that you might have an opportunity to learn a few things from that particular podcast. There was something that was one that stuck out for me and that I would recommend. So I promise again that we're not going to overload you with any kind of emails that you'll be receiving. This is something that will just be coming once a week. It comes out the same time that the podcasts come out, which are 9 o'clock a.m. Central Time for the U.S. every Thursday. So until next week, stay well, get booked, and remember that you are truly blessed. So share the love with everyone you meet. This is Scotty out.